Translation: O descendant of King Bharat, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul, the Controller, and the Savior from all miseries. Purport. In the previous verse, Sri Shukadev Goswami has described how the foolish, materially attached men are wasting their valuable time in the improvement of material conditions of life by sleeping, indulging in sex life, developing economic conditions, and maintaining a band of relatives who are to be vanquished in the air of oblivion. Being engaged in all these materialistic activities, the living soul entangles himself in the cycle of the law of fruitive actions. This entails the chain of birth and death in the 8,400,000 species of life, the aquatics, the vegetables, the reptiles, the birds, the beasts, the uncivilized man, and then again the human form, which is the chance for getting out of the cycle of fruitive action. Therefore, if one desires freedom from this vicious circle, then one must cease the act as a karmi, or enjoyer of the result of one's own work, good or bad. One should not do anything, either good or bad, on his own account, but must execute everything on behalf of the Supreme Lord, the ultimate proprietor of everything that be. This process of doing work is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita 9.27, also, where instruction is given for working on the Lord's account. Therefore, one should first of all hear about the Lord. When one has perfectly and scrutinizingly heard, one must glorify his acts and deeds, and thus it will become possible to remember constantly the transcendental nature of the Lord. Hearing about and glorifying the Lord are identical with the transcendental nature of the Lord, and by so doing, one will be always in the association of the Lord. This brings freedom from all sorts of fear. The Lord is Supersoul, Paramatma, present in the hearts of all living beings. And thus, by the above hearing and glorifying process, the Lord invites the association of all in His creation. This process of hearing about and glorifying the Lord is applicable for everyone, whoever he may be, and it will lead one to the ultimate success in everything in which one may be engaged by providence. There are many classes of human beings: the fruitive workers, the empiric philosophers, the mystic yogis, and ultimately the unalloyed devotees. For all of them, one and the same process is applicable for achieving the desired success. Everyone wants to be free from all kinds of fear, and everyone wants the fullest extent of happiness in life. The perfect process for achieving this, here and now, is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is uttered by such a great authority as Srila Shukadev Goswami. By hearing about and glorifying the Lord, all persons' activities become molded into spiritual activities, and thus all conceptions of material miseries become completely vanquished. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, we started the second canto recently, and when we look back in these first five verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, we can actually see they're very much like sutras. all these verses and few verses to come very nicely encapsulate the very essential messages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this one, in this specific verse, in the verse number 5, we can see how the Lord is approached in three individual and three different aspects, on three different levels, correct? If you look at the Sanskrit, you can very easily pick them up. Can anyone tell me which are the three aspects by which Lord is actually pointed out? If you go through the Sanskrit, Bhagavan, yes, Ishvara, Hari, yeah, that could be one of them, and there's one more then, Sarvatma. So we can see that just by one single verse, the Supreme Lord is approached through different angles, through different aspects, and by these we can actually recognize the validity of the process. Validity of the process means that established that the Supreme Lord has many different features. Right, in Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned that there are three aspects of the Absolute Truth. Right, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti Shabdyate. So even within this simple verse, we can identify these three very important aspects. Sarvatma, which means Sarva Atma, the super soul or the soul of everything or the soul of all, which directly even mentioned by Prabhupada in the purport refers to the Paramatma feature. Bhagavan, most of us, we have this explanation of what Bhagavan means, right? Bhagavan means presented by Prabhupada as opulence. In Amarakosha dictionary is mentioned that Bhaga means also wealth, desire, glory, power, effort, the sun, and fame. So all of this in Amarakosha is explained that what actually Bhaga as such encapsulates. And then Ishvara. So this Ishvara aspect means that the Supreme Lord possesses everything. Everything that we see, everything that we don't see, everything from in the all the directions are directly or indirectly possessed by the Supreme Lord. So this aspect is very predominant. Also, another interesting thing of this verse is that it encapsulates, or again, it presents three possibilities or three possible aspects of how to approach the Supreme Lord. Can anyone tell me which are the three ways to approach the Lord? Again, looking at the Sanskrit. Yes. Shrotavya means to be heard. Kirtavya means to be glorified. And Smartavya, to be remembered. So remembering, hearing, and glorification is mentioned within this verse. So when I was listening to Prabhupada explaining this verse in his class, so for one to hear, glorify, and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one needs to develop some kind of a taste. And to develop some kind of a taste, you need to first know what is tasty for you. Where is that taste for you? Where's that taste? So, and to develop, to understand your taste, you need to also understand your nature. Throughout the history of ISKCON, so many times, so many classes, so many presentations being done on the importance of nature and to understand one's own nature. So there's interesting pastime in the 10th canto. This is with Agasura. So when this big python-like demon was killed by Krishna in Vrindavan, after this pastimes, all these demigods and celestial beings start glorifying the Supreme Lord. And it is mentioned in the 10th canto, chapter 12, verse 34. Thereafter, everyone being pleased, the demigods began to shower flowers from Nandana Kanana. The celestial dancing girls began to dance. And the Gandharvas, who are famous for singing, offered songs of prayer. The drummers began to beat their kettle drums, and the Brahmanas offered Vedic hymns. In this way, both in the heavens and on earth, everyone began to perform his own duties, glorifying the Lord. So, In terms of glorification of the Lord, all of us, we have certain prescribed activities and duties to be performed, always in relation with the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada writes in the purport, everyone has some particular duty. The Shastra has concluded, nirupita, that everyone should glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his own qualifications. If you are a singer, always glorify the Supreme Lord by singing very nicely. If you are a musician, glorify the Supreme Lord by playing musical instruments. Swanustitasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam. The perfection of life is to satisfy the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, beginning from this earth up to the celestial kingdom, everyone engage in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The decision of all great saintly persons is that whatever qualification one has acquired should be utilized to glorify the Supreme Lord. So the reason why I'm mentioning this is that this pastime to happen, or that the point that we came here to the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the very important question which was raised by Parikshit Maharaj was actually to Shukadev Goswami, and not only to Shukadev Goswami, but to the assembly of these great sages, was what is my duty, right? What is my duty? What is that something I should engage myself in just before these 7 days, just because I'm leaving the body? So we can see in the bygone ages, there was a very great importance on understanding what is the duty of individuals. And the reason why the society is very much misguided, unfortunate, upset, and constantly designed to look for some gratification, sometimes out of the scale of their karma, is because they're just unfulfilled. They don't know what is their duty, what is their occupation, and what necessarily should be performed according to time, place, and circumstances. So this is the very important and essential question of Srimad Bhagavatam. The reason why Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken was to facilitate the understanding of the jivas about the duty, right? All these dharmic activities which are performed according to time, place, and circumstances, they should ultimately lead to conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme and I have eternal relationship with Him. So this duty needs to lead to a conclusion. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.5.22 is mentioned, learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, namely austerity, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of hymns and charity, culminates in the transcendental description of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. And Prabhupada writes, when advancement of knowledge is applied in the service of the Lord, the whole process becomes absolute. The Personality of Godhead and His transcendental name, fame, glory, etc. are all non-different from Him. Therefore, all the sages and devotees of the Lord have recommended that the subject matter of art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology, and all other branches of knowledge should be wholly and solely applied in the service of the Lord. Art, literature, poetry, painting, etc. may be used in glorifying of the Lord. So recently I was listening to this very nice class by Bhaktitirtha Maharaj. And it was interesting. It was called in a very kind of a challenging way. Not challenging, just interesting way. The name of the class was Art of Pretending. Art of Pretending. Or what you can get actually for pretending. In our kind of a connotation, pretending is something negative. When someone says to you, be real, be who you truly are. But here, Bhaktitirtha Maharaj presents a very interesting concept that actually what devotees are doing, and everyone on this planet actually what they're doing, to certain degree, they are pretending, right? Even when we enter the temple room, when the curtains open, you pay obeisances to the lordships, right? The question may be raised, are you truly and fully aware that this is the Supreme Lord? When you look at the Radha Gokulananda, do you know that this is non-different from the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan? Are you aware of it? Do you have that 100% sure realization, vigyan, that this is the Supreme Lord? Yes or no? No. So, but what you do, you pretend that this is the Supreme Lord. And you pretend that you have that realization. So by concluding on that point, you pay obeisances. Are you 100% sure that this Murti of Srila Prabhupada sitting here in the temple room is not different from Srila Prabhupada? Are you sure that by touching his feet is not different from touching feet of Srila Prabhupada? Are you 100% sure about that? Or again, you pretend that you come, that it is true, is this fact? Are you 100% sure that this Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Purana, is spotless, has no tinge of different modes of material nature? Or do you pretend and to accept the conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam? Are you 100% sure that there were flying Vimanas all around the universe, flying crisscross, you know, all everywhere, from heavenly regions to, you know, to hellish regions, to Bhur regions, to the regions of the middle planetary systems? Are you aware of that? According to Srimad Bhagavatam, that's a fact. Prabhupada says many different points, but the question is, do you truly understand them, or do you pretend to understand them? So the point of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was that we are pretending to be real. According to the scriptures, our real position is to be Krishna Nitya Das. Eternally, we are servants of the Lord. But there are two levels of pretending. One level of pretending is that we accepted this ahankar, this false ego, right? This position, this name, this type of body, this type of society. We are surrounded by certain type of people. We are associating with certain type of literature, culture. And we're pretending that we are not. So dharma, at least the swadharma, means that according to time, place and circumstances, according to a level of ahankar, you pretending that you are a kshatriya, you are pretending that you're a brahmana, you are pretending you're a vaishya and a shudra, right? But all this so-called pretending facilitates your further advancement. So even in that scope of pretending that you are something, you understand the prayojana, which is the ultimate goal. And that is, I am eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord. So that's the first scope or first bubble of pretending, right? That's the bubble that we pretending that we are something. But then there's that second bubble of reality pretending. Okay, I hope I haven't lost you. Still, you get the concept, right? So the second level of pretending is that we pretending that we are who we truly are, which is the eternal associates of the Lord, or eternal servitors of the Lord. So, but that is the reality, right? So from one level of pretending, we pretending that we are what we should be, or what we truly are. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was presenting in a very, very interesting way. And it means that, let's say, some of us, definitely myself, we struggle with certain things, right? It is prescribed that Vaishnava should be acting in a certain way. Vaishnava should behave himself in a certain way. Devotee should hold himself in a certain way. But what if you don't? What if that's not part of you? What if that's not who you are? What if that it's that point of struggle you possess in your life? What do you do then? So yesterday, we had a very wonderful presentation by Sutapa Prabhu about the importance of attitude in devotion. And one thing which I take from that was all these two aspects, or two kind of a different poles of performing certain activities, need to be balanced. And that balance of life comes through, first of all, through awareness, right? Awareness means that you understand what is required of you. You understand, again, the needs of time, place and circumstances. And you also understand your internal nature. So that's the first step, awareness. You need to be aware of your nature to act accordingly. First, you're aware of what are your struggles, and then you understand what are the requirements of your surroundings, just so you can please the Vaishnavas, please the Guru, and facilitate the movement in a correct fashion, in a correct way. So the point I'm trying to make is that, first of all, you should understand your nature, just from the perspective of Parikshit Maharaj. He understood that now I made a transition The transition was made like this. First of all, I was this infallible, strong king, this ruler, this emperor of the whole world. I was the protector, the one who was representative of God on this planet. But then the transition was made. The curse was uttered. The things changed. I let go of all of these things. And I accepted a new position. I accepted a different circumstances. Now I'm not a ruler anymore. Yet I'm a beggar of these great saints, of these great personalities. Fully. Before, as well as a kshatriya, always you have to offer respectful obeisances and maintain the brahmanas and the saintly personalities. But now that feature, that aspect of Parikshit Maharaj can fully be manifested. Therefore, at that specific time, the real essential duty was inquire. What is my position? What should I do? What activity should I fully embrace to actually go back to Godhead? And that's why these first initial verses are the sutras or explanations of Shukadev Goswami of essence of what should be done. Therefore, I'll repeat the translation of the verse again. O descendant of King Bharata, King Bharat, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is Supersoul, the controller, and the savior from all miseries. Right? So the inquiry was made. What should be done? And this is the answer. Glorify, remember, and also hear about. Then Prabhupada gives very interesting presentation or step-by-step process of how to actually engage practically in this process. And let me finally give me a second. One should not do anything, either good or bad, on his own account, but must execute everything on behalf of the Supreme Lord, and ultimately proprietor of everything that be. This process of doing work is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita 9:27, which is 9:27. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi. Is it this one? Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yajihosi datasi yad yatapasyasi konteya tatkurushva madarpanam. So it means whatever you do, whatever activities you perform, whatever austerities you perform, whatever you eat, do that as an offering to me. So this is interesting point. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you perform, whatever austerities you perform, do that as an offering to me. So what this verse is also indicating is that it builds certain kind of a barrier of what you should do. And you may ask yourself, why? How is that possible that actually this simple verse indicates the direction that devotee should take? Do that as an offering to me. To understand what is an offering and what is not an offering, you need to understand what Lord is pleased with and what he's displeased with, right? So straight away it builds up kind of instructions. It builds up understanding what should be done and what not should be done, right? If I want to please someone, I need to first understand how to please him, what actually pleases that devotee, right? Therefore, knowledge needs to be there. And knowledge from where? From hearing. So if you hear about the person, right, you need to establish relationships with that person. And Krishna is the supreme person. So if you desire to please the Lord, if you desire to perform tapasya, if you desire to eat something, if you desire to perform some activities, you need to hear about what is pleasing to that person to perform those specific activities. Prabhupada says, therefore one should first of all hear about the Lord. He said, hear about the Lord. When one has perfectly and scrutinizingly heard, one must glorify his acts and deeds. And thus it will become possible to remember constantly the transcendental nature of the Lord. So Prabhupada creates this step-by-step process. First is the hearing process. Then is the glorification process. And then understanding the remembering of the Supreme Lord. But don't think that these are like steps. Just like step one, check. Step two, check. Step three, check. No, these steps always and continuously come together. So, to engage ourselves within this process of remembering, glorifying, and hearing the Lord, there's something which is called the spiritual saturation. Spiritual saturation is, imagine this simple experiment. Imagine you have some kind of a liquid within a bottle. And what do? You start pouring other type of liquid. So what you do, by pouring that other type of liquid, the initial liquid within the bottle starts kind of either just going out of the bottle, or it completely changes the substance to another type of liquid. This means, this represents the mind. When you're constantly pouring Krishna Katha into the mind, the saturation of your mind, the spiritual saturation will take place. And from that point of spiritual saturation, your activities will change. Your thinking will change. Does anyone happen to someone that, let's say you perform certain activity very intensely, and then, for instance, in the evenings when you sleep, you literally have dreams about the activities you've been performing. I was on Brook Marathon. This was 2018. We've been in Manchester, and those who've done Brook Marathons, you're on the street for like, 8-10 hours, and you develop certain mood. And then what happens, you can't just like click like this and just switch off from that mood. At least I can't do it. And what happens, I was sleeping, and Shesha Prabhu, my godbrother, he was right next to me. And in the evening, in the night, I was just like, excuse me, boss, excuse me. I was like, and he was like, I was known back then, back to Adam. So he was like, Adam, go to sleep. I was like, no. I know you're rushing, but just take your time for a moment. I'm a monk. I'm just traveling around, and I'm giving these books. He said, Adam, you're sleeping. You're in a room. Just go back to sleep. I was like, don't worry, bro. He's like, I can just give you this book. We not charge anything. It's just based on donations. And he was like, okay, thank you. Thank you for the book. Can I go now? He said, yes, thank you. I really appreciate your time. Have a lovely day. So that spiritual saturation is very important for us. That's one of the points where Srila Prabhupada was even saying that 24/7, right? This nitya seva needs to be always present within our life. And if this happens, that Krishna conscious aspect will enter from one angle based on your nature, right? We spoke about the nature in the first point. So based on your nature, you engage yourself and you get spiritually saturated based on your nature. And then what happens, it starts kind of a spilling all over your life, right? Through one type of nature, you accept devotional life with the inside, in your kind of, in your devotional life. And then what happens, by that saturation of that one angle, every other angle of your life becomes spiritualized. Everything else becomes spiritualized. Not only that service, but everything else. Therefore, it's very important to understand your nature. And one of the other points is that sometimes by externally accepting certain mood, internal life may follow. And let me do small, little, very simple experiment. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Gornitai ki. So I want to do one quick, simple experiment with you now. This is an experiment which was recommended to me by one devotee. And whenever you're down on mood, whenever things are not working out so nicely for you, I want you to remember this one thing. Smile. It's so simple. Now I want you to ask all of you here, just as fake as it may be, whatever it may be, just smile. Smile. Just open the mouth, show your smile, show your teeth, just for a few seconds. Just do it. And what happens is, straight away, you can feel some kind of an internal difference. Straight away, there's some kind of a change. So by externally performing some kind of activities, even if you don't feel it, right? Even if you are not happy at the moment, even if you are not such a uplifting mood, by externally performing certain activity based on your internal awareness, that internal mood may be changed. So this is a very practical example. I do it now and then. I just go in the corner, just face the corner. Okay, Antaranga, things don't work out. Just smile. And then just face the world with that internal mood. Right? So this is very important. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is indicating in this small experiment that if you're not humble, act as being humble. If you're not tolerant, act as being tolerant. If you're not enthusiastic, act that you're enthusiastic. And what will happen? That internal mood will change. Right? Just by that external activity, there's a big chance that internal mood will shift. And then when you do it enough and many times as possible, that spiritual saturation of that activity, that saturation of that character will actually take real internal root within you. And the roots of that character will actually start spreading, and somehow or another, it will become part of you. It will become your default setting. And then even if that's not possible, even if that external activity is not deep enough, you've done your best. And one last thing or you kind of can do is the prayer. Just pray. My dear Lord, I'm not tolerant. My dear Lord, I try my best to be tolerant. My dear Lord, I repeat this activity of tolerance again and again and again. Yet internally, it cannot take place within my heart. You could annihilate all these great demons. You are known as Madhusudan. You destroyed all these great demons. Therefore, I request you destroy this demon within me. It's not a problem for you, and I'm fully dependent upon your mercy. Therefore, understand your nature, invite some kind of a prayer within your life, and then things, you will see the difference. And one thing we should be also aware of in terms of changing of nature or engaging ourselves in Krishna consciousness is that when we beg for tolerance, when we beg for mercy, when we beg for humility, when we beg for purity, it's not that the Lord will actually give us the character of purity. It's not like the Lord will give us the character of tolerance. Rather, He will facilitate for us the moments when we may become tolerant. Does it make sense? It's not so cheap. Character change is not very cheap activity. That's why this process is simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated. But same time, there's a lot of endeavor need to be invested in your internal mood transition. But what brings us to another point is that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 4, chapter 22, verse 39 is written, the devotees who are always engaged in service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard-knotted desires for fruitive activities, because this is very difficult. The non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudev. Prabhupada writes in the purport to this verse, as long as one continues to try to artificially stop the waves of desires, he will certainly be defeated. That is indicated in this verse. Desires for fruitive activities are strongly rooted, but the trees of desire can be uprooted completely by devotional service, because devotional service employs superior desire. One can give up inferior desires when engaged in superior desires. To try stop desires is impossible. So don't think that because you have these desires, because you have these inclinations, because you have this sort of nature within you, you're lost. Things are done for you. You know, there's no sort of change. But actually, by engaging yourself in devotional service, in praying, Krishna will facilitate the change by the platform of devotional service. And that aspect of purification will be that which kind of takes you out from this strong roots of the desire tree, that negative desire tree, not the kalpa riksha in the spiritual world, that the desire tree which took deep roots within your heart. And as Shukadev Goswami, he was kind of building up a momentum, and as these verses we've been presenting, the conclusion is that this Srimad Bhagavatam is the result and option for you to actually cut this desire tree which is within your heart. It is written in Bhagavatam in the 12th canto, chapter 13, verse 18. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahamsas. This Bhagavatam reveals the means for becoming free from all material work together with the process of transcendental knowledge, renunciation and devotion. Anyone who seriously tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, who properly hears and chants it with devotion, becomes completely liberated. So because Srimad Bhagavatam speaks about all of these problems, Srimad Bhagavatam, and next time when you read Bhagavatam, try to extrapolate the difficulties that you go through, right? Whatever it may be, lack of knowledge, lack of focus, lack of determination, lack of, again, humility, tolerance, focus, desires, lack of spiritual desires, lack of, I don't know, whatever it may be, whatever troubles you go through at this specific time in your devotional life, extrapolate them, see them, and then next time when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, take the message from Bhagavatam and see that this is the result of me praying through my difficulties. This is the facilitation or answers on my difficulties in my current stage of affairs, in my current stage of difficulties in my devotional life. Gajendra, right? Gajendra was a personality who was not thinking about surrender. Gajendra surrendered to the Lord only after he was harassed by the crocodile. Gajendra surrendered only after long, prolonged time of focusing on his own strength. That could be applied in our life as well. So one thing which I really like about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is that he reads with understanding. He reads with truly seeing the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. You see, Srila Prabhupada, he can encapsulate tons of books within one sentence. Srila Prabhupada can literally, in one sentence, you can write purports and purports on those purports on Prabhupada sentences from Srimad Bhagavatam. Like there is one very interesting sentence Prabhupada mentioned here. Okay, here it is. The process of hearing about and glorifying the Lord is applicable for everyone, whoever he may be, and it will lead to one to the ultimate success in everything in which one may be engaged by Providence. Basically, whatever activities you perform, whatever service you are given, whatever stage of life you're in, by hearing and glorifying the activities of the Lord, you will get success in that activity. So imagine whatever you do, you're making garlands, you're pujari, you're sankirtan devotee, you're cooking, you're cleaning the temple, whatever activity you perform, you're a householder, you're raising your children, you're going to work, if you invite the glorification and hearing about the Lord, that activity will become perfect. Not only internally perfect, but also externally you will be perfect. Those which are Vaishnavas, those which are devotees, they are very focused. They can lift that service they've been given. It's not only clean the temple, it's not only like, you know, mop the floor, but you will actually extend the service you perform to such a degree that you will do everything and more which is required. So Prabhupada writes in the purport which I mentioned here to this verse from the 12th canto, because Srimad Bhagavatam is completely free of contamination by the modes of nature, it is endowed with extraordinary spiritual beauty and is therefore dear to the pure devotees of the Lord. In the beginning, we have been speaking about nature of one's activities, which are there due to our connection with the gunas. But here is mentioned that one should associate with Srimad Bhagavatam because these gunas are missing, and by that we can develop spiritual qualities. So first, in our small little Bhagavatam journey, we encourage devotees, encourage ourselves to work and act based on our nature. But here in conclusion is that by associating with Srimad Bhagavatam, that nature which comes ultimately from three modes of material nature start evaporating. They will start changing. And only thing which will last is that spiritual nature. That because we are associating with the activities of Paramahamsas, the mood, presentation, and blessings of those Paramahamsas will be upon us. So I'll finish the presentation here. Thank you for your tolerance and patience. If there are any points, questions, or anything devotees would like to share, please do it now.
In the purport, I think in the translation, what Prabhupada says, Hari refers to the Lord who takes away all miseries, right? But we find in devotional service, sometimes devotees go through obstacles, so how, the contradiction, if more miseries go than obstacles are there.
I would say that diamonds are made under pressure. And yesterday I heard very nice point, actually from you, Srinivas Prabhu, and from Sam Prabhu, that Krishna doesn't want slaves or doesn't want broken people, broken personalities in spiritual world. He wants friends, he wants associates, he wants lovers, he wants fathers, mothers, he wants cowherd boys, he wants all the living entities to have that connection with them via love. So if difficulties or obstacles are coming there, rather than our reaction to feel broken by them, the question should be, what is my duty again? What can I learn from these obstacles? What are there to show me and indicate to me? And many times these obstacles are on the level of the mind. So we can see some. And I think devotees, you can also see that there are certain repetition of activities which happen through our whole life, right? Different faces, different people, same situations. And by observing these things, that observing these repetitions, you can actually see, this is the message Krishna wants to show me. This is that something I really have to work on. So, identify that, and next time when that situation comes, just be aware of it and say, okay, Krishna is again telling me, be humble, be tolerant, be meek, try to be happy, be enthusiastic, you know, just be different than you've been before. So that misery is rather, and many times, on the level of the mind. Thank you for the question, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji. That was a brilliant class. I just have one question on this. If you can just help me understand it a little bit better, which is like, how much should you keep pretending so that the pretending itself doesn't become your nature, like you're just consistently pretending? For example, let's say your nature is to sing, but you're pretending to be quiet. So sometimes what happens is while you're pretending to be quiet, it destroys your nature, like your nature of, like, because you can sing, you'll be a positive person, but because you have to become quiet, then you become rigid and you change.
We should judge activities based on their results. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the whole Vaishnava Bhakti Shastras, they're indicating that you should engage yourself in activities which are by which you can harvest good results, spiritual results. So if your nature is not at that specific time conducive to harvest good and positive and spiritual results, therefore, by intelligence, by guidance of the Vaishnavas, we should engage ourselves in activities by which we can harvest good results or spiritual results. So we coming from different backgrounds, different cultures, we've been brought up in a different ways, but yet we are united under this shelter of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, naturally, there will be some discrepancies in what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. Therefore, my only advice or my only suggestion is that we should always judge the activity by the results it will bear. And that requires a lot of awareness, a lot of kind of a contemplation, and just also projection. Projection is, in psychological term, means how my activity or how my persona will be accepted by others. So I engage in those activities which are not displeasing, which are not contradictive to the shastras, and also I need to understand just how to be, you know, just how to be a nice devotee, I guess. But again, yeah, I would say awareness and projection and understanding the results of my activities. That would be the answer. Thank you. Parajan Prabhu?
It's an interesting aspect there. You actually have to... you think that by nature you're just being yourself. But actually, sometimes we have to understand that actually that you see it as a negative because somebody's trying to take away from you. So that's your vision. But actually, if you can just transform your nature into an act of giving, in other words, to others, not necessarily, it doesn't become a suppression of your nature because you know some good will come out of it for others. And that's the whole, we've got to transform what we see as a negative thing could be good for others. It's just our vision that they're trying to stop me, that they're doing this. It's so I can't be myself. But actually, it's not. That actually, they're telling you that actually, in taking, your natural proclivity could be actually an act of giving to others. That actually, that instead of drowning them out, like Eric is talking about, her voice, it overpowers other people. You can't hear them. You know, and so instead of saying, they're stopping me being myself, that it's not the case. That actually, that you want their benefit, so that they won't be overpowered by this voice that not only sings the verse, but it sings the refrain over the top of everybody else. It's you just have to do it, and it's just good for you that actually that this just being myself. Children are like that. They want to show off, and when they haven't got that they're not the center of attraction, this is the thing we got to be careful with. It's our false ego. Mm. It's not a case of suppression of the self. It's false ego. But actually, we can, if we give to others, then all of a sudden it becomes transformed instead of an act of suppression, but an act of giving. But let other people be sing. Let other people to think. But also, you know, if we're not careful, we lose track. And like sometimes you have to be reminded that there's still the rest of the program to come, and that we got to stop here. Because there's more program to come. Yes. You know, we have to control ourselves for the sake of others because there's another program going on. So it's not an act of suppression. It's an act of giving. Oh, Krishna, I forgot. We got to do the class now. You know, you can carry on all you like by your own nature, but it won't help you. It won't help you.
Yes.
Because we have to consider others, you know. So, you know, sometimes an act of giving can be an act of taking away, you know. And Harry's good at that. He takes away that which we got to be careful of.
True.
And that's what we want him to take away, our false ego. You know. But anyway.
Thank you for that point, Purujan Prabhu. Yes, I will take last question and then we will finish.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for the nice class. You mentioned that by an external activity we can change our internal mood. How can we make sure that we don't repress any other emotions by doing that? Because Krishna also says, what will repression accomplish? So just like to have some, your point on that.
That's why I mentioned, thank you for the question, it's a very important one. Yes, we very much focus also on repressing certain character traits which are not conducive for our spiritual life. But then Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the important part is higher taste. So it will not be only, it will not have only negative connotation, not only repressing, but also will have a positive effect. Like for instance, you may not be satisfied with certain activities that you perform, but your spiritual master instructs you to do it. So that activity on itself you've struggled with, is difficult for you, you constantly contemplate negatively about that. But when your spiritual master enters the picture and says, I desire for you to perform this activity for my pleasure. So what will happen is that whole situation of dry, difficult tapa, just dry, difficult renunciation, will now have a higher meaning. There will be a higher goal behind it. It will not be anymore just a tapasya, but it will be a pleasure having the understanding that this is the desire of your guru. So, yes, there is certain type of repression, but that repression or that tapasya needs to be supported of, by something. So if you struggle with either, like, for instance, you know, some relationships or certain services, and I'm preaching to myself, that you have to know why you're doing it and what benefit will come out of it, right? So for instance, you do something which you're not inclined to do, but if I do it, what will I receive? So focus on that. I'll receive blessings of the Vaishnavas, I'll receive blessing of my spiritual master, and ultimately, I'll receive blessing of Krishna. Because I do something which is a pinching, right? It gives me a pinch. And you see, devotional life, it's not, let's be honest, it's not always easy, right? But if you engage yourself in activities which sometimes put you on the edge, put you on the uncomfortable zone, believe me or not, in a many great percentage, that's the place where you actually grow the most. So that would be my answer. So know why you're doing certain activities. So thank you for that. I think the time has come. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Amala Purana Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai. Hare Krishna.